When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell College Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours, truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year of this year, Triwizard Champion herself, my wonderful co-host, and your wonderful co-host, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hello, and einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Welcome to episode 85, in which we discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This week, we'll talk about chapter 6, The Portkey. We'll give you a quick life update with our homemade cottage ketchup, feed our brains with important trivia knowledge, and then dive head on into our chapter summary audio experience. And to lead us right into the cottage ketchup, I want to ask you, Mr. Bill, how are you feeling this morning? And also, when was the last time you got up as early as Harry and the Weasleys for an exciting event?
Holy. What time did they get up? Like 5?
They never say, but it's before daybreak. So we still see the moon. The sun is only a distant green light.
Okay. The Diggorys said they were up at 2 a.m. Or something. Wow. First of all, I'm doing well. Feeling chipper. Feeling good. Lots of stuff brewing. You know when you're in your place and something's simmering on the stove and you've got the laundry going, you got this happening. Like, none of that's happening right now in our cottage, but it's metaphorically happening in my mind, and it's happening in terms of projects and things we have cooking, I guess, and things that we're cleaning and washing and fixing up as we move into the summer. So there we go. That's my metaphor. I'm like ready to go, feeling good. When's the last time? When did I get up? Man. Ooh, early to go to an event. I'm thinking, like, I don't even know. I think I can't really think of anything that early that I got up.
When it's still dark outside. I mean, every day, basically, when we go to school.
Every day, going to school. It's an event. But I'm thinking about something special that you would go for. Oh, I do know. Star Wars Celebration.
Oh,
my wizard god.
Was the moon still out?
Well, let's just say we drove through the night. I'll never forget this. Shout out to my old buddy Mike. I talk about him from time to time. We went down to Orlando, and we drove through the night.
Was that on a Friday?
That was a Thursday night.
Wow.
I think it was like we took Thursday off, and then I had Friday off. It happened to be that like I got a Friday off, so I took Thursday off, and then took the following Monday off. So I was good.
That's awesome.
But we left. So we must have left like, when did we leave? Sometime Thursday, got the rental car, drove down. And as we're going into Orlando, like I'm waking up to, I mean, we're like, it's like a 14-hour drive or something like that. I can't remember when we left. But all I know is we went through the night. Traffic was less. And as we come in the morning, we were trying to get, we couldn't check into our hotel yet. We were just trying to get there
early.
Yeah, we were trying to find parking just so we could get into the opening ceremony. And when we got there, we were pulling by on the highway, and we saw the line stretching back. And I was like, dude, we're late.
Yep.
It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, we should have been here like at midnight last night. We should have got a hotel the night before. You know what I mean?
That's what probably a lot of people
did. Of course they did. We were amateurs. Absolute amateurs. And I just remember walking to the back of that line and everybody's just, you know, may the force be with you and this and that.
Awesome.
And it was pretty cool. But and I remember it was so early and you could smell the sea, the ocean, right? You could smell something about just, we were crossing certain bridges and going down. Florida has a smell. I mean,
yes.
I know it's Orlando. We're like nowhere near necessarily.
It's just
like
the humidity. Yeah.
There you go. That's what it was. It was just awesome, though. I remember that distinctly, getting up. And then the next day, we were dead tired, and so we went to sleep, but we're like, we got to get up earlier.
Yeah.
We have to be, like, we actually were leaving Star Wars Celebration day one, walking by, and we saw people in line already. Like, they had, so the convention ended around 5 or 6, you know,
turn around, get out there by 7. Get in line for day two.
They had lined up at 4 p.m. They were camping out. They were camping out the whole time. And I was like, dude, we got to run back. So we ran back, and we got all of our stuff, you know, put at the hotel, blah, blah, blah. Busted our butts back there, got in line. The line was even longer. We stayed out there all night long.
You slept there?
Yeah, we got some sleep right right on the concrete with some flannels. And then eventually they saw us all out there. And so the organizers came out and they brought everybody inside. And so they allowed us to go ahead and queue up. And
that
so we went ahead
insane.
And queued up. They got us safely inside the building, and then we all just slept in there. I mean, there's just literally everybody, bodies everywhere, right? It was before COVID. This was wild. And I remember it was 3 o'clock in the daggone morning. There's lightsaber fights going on over here on the side. People are just messing around. People are trying to sleep, you know. And all of a sudden, the director for The Last Jedi walks in. Rian Johnson walked in. He just walked in, and people started, everyone forgot where their spot, they left their stuff. Everyone's like, leave your stuff in the line. And he just moved through the line and, like, signed autographs, took photos with people. It's crazy.
Wow.
So
they just got up from a night of no sleep.
Right.
Great photographs.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy. It was
That's
crazy.
Cute, yeah. That's awesome. I mean, one day, hopefully, this will be LeakyCon, guys.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
People staying the night before to get in, you know.
Yeah. Gosh.
Actually, but though I really enjoy the size of LeakyCon right now. I've only been last year. And I think that's also an event where we got up really early in the morning to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe.
Because we drove.
Yeah, we did. Yes, we drove.
Was it a Friday morning?
Right. We drove there, and then we checked into our hotel. Yes. Like, we had our stuff out in the car, and they let us check in a little early. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I loved it. I loved that it was not huge yet, but I wouldn't mind at all.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's just, there's something about also the smaller little cons and
oh, you
and
get
it's
to.
Not, it's not like that small. It's like a medium, nice medium size.
Right, right. Because at Star Wars Celebration, you would see one person and you might never see them the rest of the weekend.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they would be, it was so big that you're like, yeah. Well, this is a city. I mean, I might have never. Good luck. May the force be with you.
Yeah.
I mean, but people at LeakyCon, you would roll past. Like, we kept seeing, we saw Elijah
amazing.
Wood. I almost ran flat out into Tom Felton.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Like, he's coming around to do his guitar thing, and he just didn't walk through no security, nothing.
You almost ran him over.
He walked right by me, and he actually said, excuse me, mate. And I was like, no, excuse me. Like, he said that I'm not making this up. He walked right by, and here I come around the corner like, whoa, you know, and he's just got his guitar. And I was like, wow, it's awesome.
That is so cool.
Cool.
And I also thought it was so fun because it was a big convention center, and we had a part of it that was dedicated to LeakyCon, but then there's other conventions going on on the other side, and there was people running around who they're like looking at us like, who are you? What are you doing?
Yeah,
wearing wizard robes and I mean, people in other cosplays, because it's open to other fandoms too.
Right.
And I thought it was amazing. I thought it was fun. People just having a good time, having a good laugh at the weird nerds over there.
yeah, it was pretty funny. They would see, we'd be in line with them at Starbucks, and they'd be like, so what?
Yes.
There was a lot of ladies who were like, love Harry Potter, you know? And they were just doing their own convention. Cute. I forget what it was, but it was cool.
That was so cool. And then the other time I remember, and this, I just get chills when I remember it, when we went to Diagon Alley and to Hogsmeade and to, you know, Wizarding World.
We were getting there early.
Mm-hmm. In Florida. Oh, yeah. And we got the early, because of our hotel, we got the early release, and not early release.
Early access.
Early access.
Yeah.
We got up at like 5, and in Florida, summer, no, it was spring, I think.
Yeah.
April or something?
Yeah, it was. Yep, spring.
And sun was rising.
Mm-hmm.
It was already up when we left, I think.
Yeah.
Was it dark?
No,
it was kind of dark still, though.
A little bit, but it was coming up, though.
And we were taking the bus. Bus was already full of people.
Yeah, it was packed when we got there.
It was packed when we were shocked.
Yeah.
But it was so fun because we were one of the worst.
We're one of the worst first people there.
Remember, though, we went to one of the rides first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Didn't even have breakfast, I think.
Yeah.
And we took that Gringotts ride. Was it Gringotts?
Yeah.
And that was the bad one, though. And there was no line, though.
Right, yeah, and I still want to get my headache, right?
Yes.
Gosh.
I think we shouldn't have done that the first thing in the
later,
morning.
Later, we went to watch Secrets of Dumbledore.
Yes, it was so awesome.
Which was
the
awesome.
The movie came out, and we watched it in Orlando, in the Wizarding World, basically.
But I was already kind of sick and had done all these dizzy, like, screens and
bad splint.
Rise, and yeah, and I went in there, and I was like, wow, I'm aching head.
That's you got crazy. One of those hairy scar headaches, basically.
Yeah, it was bad. It was rough. Bad.
But it was so cool. Like, there is something about getting up in the morning like that when there's something exciting that day, right? I mean, the Weasleys are complaining, why do we have to get up so early? I think I would have been, like, stoked. So, but we're going to talk about that later.
True. Right? True. Yeah. Okay. So, cottage ketchup.
Ketchup. Yes, there is something else.
Okay.
So, last week... We were a little bit under the weather, and we had to take a little break.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed so much reading all you guys' comments. We asked you, what are some scenes from the books that you want to see in the upcoming Harry Potter TV show? And let me read some of those to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have... this is fun. Career advice with Umbridge and McGonagall.
Career advice?
Yes.
When
in fifth year they have to kind of think about a career and what OWLs they want to take or what they want to go for, really good grade, right?
Yeah. Hey, and she works at the ministry, so, you know.
Yes.
Clearly.
Who had career advice with her, though?
Don't remember.
That, yeah.
Don't remember.
Have a biscuit, Potter. That was like three of you guys said have a biscuit, Potter.
Wow.
I really hope they include that. They did such a good job with McGonagall in the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm so excited to see who's going to be our new McGonagall.
I know, right? Yeah.
We saw, we were watching Anne with an E, the show, the other day. And, I mean, Marilla, the first time we met her, she was pretty, you know, stiff and mean a little bit. But she also has that super friendly, loving side to her.
Right, right.
I don't know.
She actually was in the Downton Abbey series, too. They brought her in for the Downton Abbey movie. So she's, I think, a Canadian actress. Or maybe she's English. I'm not sure. But, she would be cool. She would be a good McGonagall.
This is the next one. Is the Death Day party, Death Day celebration. A couple of you guys said that. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to see how it would look. Yes, for sure. Death Day party. That's a fun event. And how do you get... Seeing a room full of ghosts would be interesting, and just seeing the three meeting Moaning Myrtle for the first time actually there, instead of later. Not really a scene, but all the spew stuff and Dobby and Goblet of Fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be cool.
And Winky, her whole story, all the scenes, all the scenes. I love it. Yeah, Winky, it's. Everyone who read the books and loves the books is like, how can they not include Winky in this whole thing?
Yeah.
Because nothing could have happened without her, really, in Goblet of Fire. And it took me a while, though, to understand that, too. Like, when back in the day when I watched the movie, I loved the books, but I read it once. And then I got to admit, Goblet of Fire was something for, someone younger. It was hard to keep track of everything that was happening, especially when you read it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And watching the movie, I didn't really care that much. And not until later that I realized, wow.
Right. It makes a lot
more. It doesn't make a lot of sense when if you didn't read the book, you don't know what's happening, really.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think they probably will. I think that's an easy one that people will, see that they'll advocate for in the show.
Yes. Yeah. Every little one, every dialogue, every minor character, no changes.
Dang.
Every single scene.
Who said that?
There was, Gothami 4112.
Okay.
Oh, Harry flying on a broomstick as a 1-year-old from Sirius's letter to Lily in Deathly Hallows.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We need more flashbacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope, I could even imagine they do something more with approval from the author, if they could expand a little more on flashbacks.
They might show us a whole scene.
Yep.
You know?
That would be awesome.
Might do a whole scene at Godric's Hollow.
Yeah.
Like a prequel, like what Lord of the Rings does to kind of show you that this was... They show it, and then they say, okay, 11 years later or whatever. And then
that would be...
Harry's...
That would be an awesome beginning to the show. I would lose my mind.
Be wild. Can you imagine, if they show... Because she said there would be expanded, you know, scenes, that she was going to expand some stuff.
Did she say that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
That's the whole point, is that there are things that happen that we've speculated and wondered about and different stuff that I think... one of them could be, like... Once the Potters are killed, who investigated that? Was Dumbledore there?
Right.
Did Pettigrew? Well, you know what all happened? Was Sirius there? Are you going to set these things up early? Are you going to have everybody cast? How are they going to do it?
Yeah.
So there you go.
What if they use Jude Law as the Dumbledore flashback? Dumbledore.
That'd be wild.
Dumbledore flashback. Dumbledore.
Yeah.
That's in his description, in his job description.
Yeah. That'd be wild. I don't think, that'd be crazy.
I know, they don't do it, but I think it would be cool. It's just so funny to look back on the movies and then Fantastic Beasts and like the little time that passed between Fantastic Beasts and then Dumbledore going to the orphanage to talk to Tom Riddle.
Right, yeah.
It's some rough years. Rough years, man.
Right.
More day-to-day classroom scenes, the Death Day party again, and... accurate Tri-Wizard tournament. Yes, I agree though with the more day-to-day classroom scenes, and I think that's the format of a show is perfect to do that. So you have more of your daily routines and then some story developing there. Okay, so we have that. Winky, have a biscuit again. Anything else? Also, everything they cut out and changed in Half-Blood Prince and Deathly Hallows. People want all of it.
Well, that's why they're doing a show. I mean, because the show will give them, you know, the ability to do all that. I think that'll be great.
Quite a number of them, but I would like to see the Quidditch World Cup fully realized at least. And this is a perfect, I didn't even plan this, but this is a perfect transition. We want the full Quidditch World Cup too, and at least a game, you know, that we can watch. And I think with nowadays technology, it hopefully is a little easier to realize Quidditch and make it look cool and exciting. Yeah. All right. Anything you would like to see that wasn't mentioned yet?
No, I agree with everyone that I think just more of the scenes. I really, what I'm looking forward to is what I mentioned earlier, which is the idea that we would expand it. Just expand the scenes and expand something with a different character, more Cedric Diggory. Would be really cool. And I just think that there's a lot of potential to do that. A lot of things that when I go through and I do shorts on Extended Edition, I try to find plot holes or things that are inconsistent or they don't make sense or like, why didn't we get more on this? Because it would clear it up. Actually, anywhere where you make a theory or a short, there's typically, that's a space where the author or the creator did not fill in the blank.
Right.
So then we, the audience, are going to go ahead and fill it in, and we're going to speculate and all that kind of stuff. That's where we get a lot of our content from. So those are the areas that I think we'll get some answers. And maybe then that leads you to even more questions, right? Which is cool. So it's the ever-expanding sort of world building that happens when you do those things.
And it's fun, though, that there is some of these gaps that we can still talk about and fill. But it's also fun to get more.
Yeah.
More.
I really, really, I hope that they do this series and they have, that they're thinking even bigger, broader.
Yeah.
And they're going to go ahead and look at maybe the Marauders situation. Like, they might do something there, or they go back and even do more with the Fantastic Beasts. I think they should just do a TV universe. You know, to this?
Absolutely.
And then they should just have the movies just be their movie universe, right? Just keep all of that continuity the same and then have a TV verse that is a companion to it.
Where you can absolutely expand with more shows.
Right. Because you have a lot of times, for example, you've got the DC movies. You've got the Batman movie. You've got the Flash movie. You've got Superman movie. But then you have on the CW channel, you've got a whole Flash series.
Right.
Where Flash is, you know, you get 18 episodes or whatever it is, and you're just... You get
Greetings.
A lot. Yeah, you just get a lot more. So.
Yep.
Right.
And you were speculating that the TV show of the movies or the books is just the start, and then hopefully we'll get more side shows like
I think
the Marauders.
They'd be foolish to not go ahead and just do prequels and then offshoots or then even expand it and grow it in some way. Yeah, I just think that you know, there's so many people who want that. And I look at Star Wars, and after 40 years of it, mm-hmm. there's so much growth that happened.
Yes.
And
I think it's so cool that you can be a dad and your kids can still grow up with the Star Wars universe, right? Mm-hmm. With the stories, and they then you can connect because, you know, dad used to watch, or mom used to watch the old shows and old movies, and now there's young Jedi, even like the youngest ones, the four-year-olds can connect and dream about being a little Jedi.
Right.
Going on adventures.
The TV show, I think, is going to be that for this new, our the kids that we teach right now, for example. Yeah. Like, it's going to come out. There's going to be actors that they, that's the thing, too. These actors come out and they're popular. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about Stranger Things. When it came out, a lot of my kids, like my students, they can connect with Millie Bobby Brown, who they think is awesome, and they love her and everything. And so they go watch all of her stuff, and it's on Netflix, right? Yeah. And then they're all watching it. So we obviously, as adults, are like, well, what's popular? What's going on right now? Okay, we'll watch that as well, too, you know? And so they just kind of, it just explodes. And I think the same thing will happen with Harry Potter. You have such a huge fan base already around the movies. People love it, cherish it. And then, okay, there's a younger set of actors and you know, creatives coming in. I think teenagers are going to love it. And I think they're going to be like, this is awesome. So
this get ready, is people. What all the rage was all about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. But still, the movie still exists. So are you ready for some trivia?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
About the movie. Oh, but first we are going to ask each other two questions, one each that we found on our own.
Gotcha. I'll ask you, you ask me yours and I'll go ahead and get the trivia ready.
Okay.
To me.
Yeah,
bum,
here you go.
Ba-da-dum, bum, bum, bum.
Okay, so my question for you is, which department does Amos Diggory work for in the ministry?
Wow, was that said in this chapter? Why are you laughing?
Yes.
Why are you laughing so much? He works for the Department of Regulation. Hold on a second. Hold on. It's the Department of International Cooperation of Trinkets and Gadgets Associated with Magic. Right?
So similar to what Arthur does.
Yeah, but just different. Yeah. No, what? Nine. Where does he work? Hold on a
second.
This
surprised me, too. I forgot about it.
Yeah, what? I know he works at the ministry, but where?
He is closer to what Newt Scamander did than what Arthur does.
Oh, my gosh.
He works for the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures.
Dang. I said regulation, so I was on to something.
I know. I thought you got it.
Nope. Should have known. Should have known. He's a Hufflepuff, right? I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's a Hufflepuff.
I think it's pretty cool. I never really thought about it. I mean.
You got to regulate him.
He's into magical beasts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mine's pretty easy for you. Okay. So what is Harry Potter. What is Hermione's middle name?
Jean.
Dang.
Jean, okay. Right? Yeah.
Thought I'd ask it
Hermione
quick enough and
Jean
you wouldn't.
Granger. And sometimes you don't even know where that knowledge comes from because I can't remember really like where I would have read it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just popped into my head.
What is Ron Weasley's middle name?
Not Bilious. Wait, yes, it is Bilious.
Ron Bilious Weasley.
Yes.
All righty. And then. What's Harry Potter's middle name?
James.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's Harry James Potter.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
People are like, Ez, are you sure? I didn't think he had a middle name.
Ooh, let's see. This is, again, off topic. It's not an official question, but...
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum.
Let's see.
Beta!
Do they all have known middle name? So what is Ginny's full name? First, middle, and last name.
Genevieve.
Oh, no, it's not Genevieve.
Darn it. Jenny. I don't know.
Ginevra. Ginevra. Ginevra.
Okay.
Middle name is Molly.
Okay.
Weasley.
Nice.
Ginevra. I think one of her aunts calls her Ginevra. Ginevra.
Now you're going to make me go look it up because I think you're saying it wrong when you say.
I probably am, but.
It doesn't matter.
How would you say it? So we have one for moi 0 for the bill so far.
No clue.
Oh, by the way, I have to correct myself. Last time I said it's 5-5. Obviously, it was not, because I got 0 and you got 2 last time. So it was 4 for me, 5 for you. So now we are at 5-5 right now.
Okay, 5-5 right now. Okay, go ahead.
Is this a question for you?
Yeah.
So you can't see it.
Okay, and I'm rolling. I have purple.
Purple. Done. Name the three other prisoners Harry and Ron find in the dungeons of Malfoy Manor.
Holy smokes. So that would be Luna,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Ollivander,
mm-hmm.
and Dean.
I give you another chance.
Dang
because
it.
This is the movie. Think about the, you. I
oh,
think,
Grip Hook.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Good. I'll give you that point because... This you were correct in the book. Dean was there too, but yeah, Grip Hook was it in the movie verse. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's very nice of you.
Arts.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm part Hufflepuff, so
this goes in the. Where's the pile that?
It should be in there, in one of the two.
We've already messed it up, guys. We've already messed it up.
Oh no! Oh no! It's in there. I think just in the box.
Okay.
Here you go.
Dun 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 dun.
Oh. Yellow.
Victor Crumb is selected by the Goblet of Fire as the Triwizard Champion for which school?
Durmstrang Institute.
Jiminy Christmas. We have got to...
Put it in there. Both of them.
Okay.
Lottie's in the lead again. It is, no, she is not, because we both got our questions correct, so I wanted to cheat again. 6-6, and I'm telling you, I'm not trying to cheat, it's just, it is 6-6, okay.
If you, yeah, okay.
A draw, fair and square.
Okay.
Dankeschön.
Bitte.
We'll see, when are we ever going to stop? Who's going to win? Who knows? You gotta listen to all of them to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that concludes trivia training. That was a good training because now we know that Dean was not in the movie. I mean, he was. And it's like, I don't even know what to say anymore.
Don't know what to say.
Do you want me to read the summary?
I absolutely do. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Chapter 6, The Portkey. Harry, Ron, Fred, and George are woken up by Mrs. Weasley at such an ungodly hour that the sky is still shrouded in darkness and the birds are yet to utter their first morning calls. But this doesn't seem to bother Molly Weasley. She has already got up before everyone else and prepared a warm porridge breakfast for her family. When the boys sleepily enter the kitchen, they notice that Charlie, Bill, and Percy are not there. Mrs. Weasley informs them that their older brothers are going to apparate to the location later, and therefore they're allowed to sleep in. The twins don't think it's fair. They want to apparate too. But Mr. Weasley explains that apparition is quite complicated, and that you need to pass a test to get a legal license to apparate. Consequences of illegal and inexperienced apparition may be splinching, where some body parts are left behind in one place while the rest of the body travels to the desired destination. Ginny and Hermione arrive in the kitchen, still drowsy and yawning. Ginny wants to know why on earth they have to be up so early. Mr. Weasley reminds them that they have a bit of a walk ahead of them. While everyone helps themselves to some warm porridge, Mrs. Weasley and the twins get into another argument over Weasley's wizard wheezes. Promptly, Molly empties Fred and George's pockets full of tongue toffees using the summoning charm Accio. She's furious as she had told them to destroy the toffees after the incident with Dudley. The twins are just as angry with their mom, however. They had spent half a year developing this special type of candy, and now their own mother is throwing the result of all their efforts and hard work into the trash. The mood is a bit dampened, and sooner rather than later, the group is ready to start their journey. Both Fred and George have already stomped out the door, without another word to their mother. During their walk in the fresh morning air, Harry is eager to know how exactly they're going to get there. Mr. Weasley explains how difficult it is to plan the logistics of wizard transportation to the World Cup without raising suspicion among the Muggles. He introduces Harry to the concept of portkeys, everyday items that have been enchanted to teleport you to a specific location when you touch them at the right time. After a steep morning hike up the hill, they arrive at the location of the portkey a few minutes early. They quickly spread out to look for the portkey item when they run into Amos and Cedric Diggory. The Diggory family lives in the area too, and father and son are excited to attend the World Cup final together. Amos Diggory has found the portkey, an old and very moldy looking boot. Arthur and Amos know each other from the ministry, and they briefly introduce the kids to one another. Mr. Diggory can't believe he finally gets to meet Harry Potter in person. But then he creates a very awkward moment for everyone when he points out over and over again how Cedric beat Harry and the Gryffindor team in a Quidditch game last year. Even Cedric is a bit embarrassed and reminds his dad that circumstances caused Harry to fall off his broom. Mr. Weasley tries to smooth things over and quickly suggests they better get ready as it's nearly time for the departure. They all hurry and gather around the old boot, making sure each of them is touching it with at least a finger. Right on time, the portkey takes off and the entire group is magically pulled through space-time until they land back on the ground in the midst of a misty moor miles away from where they took off. Everyone but Mr. Weasley, Mr. Diggory, and Cedric, who managed to remain standing, has harshly fallen to the ground. A grumpy old wizard with a long piece of parchment documents their timely arrival.
Let's go. The old portkey. You know, think about this. You guys press play on your podcast player, and it transported you right here to Shell Cottage Radio.
It's magic.
It's magic, people. One finger. All you need is one finger. Play. Subscribe. Takes you here.
You're being pulled through space-time because this is
true
in the past.
Right.
But you're here with us in the past.
Uh-huh. Yep, but you're
and
listening.
And we're there with you in the future.
Oh, my. and I'm going to be the old, the grumpy old wizard with the parchment, just so you guys know. Keeping track of everything. Okay, so we got up early and we went and we had breakfast. It was interrupted. Go ahead. I see that hand. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask, when did Molly get up to make breakfast for everybody?
Molly,
can we just
never
acknowledge that?
Slept. Okay.
Probably not.
She is awesome. All right.
Yes.
She knew this was a big deal. Everything had to be ready to go. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love this. Okay?
Yeah.
Because, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
When my sister did softball tournaments.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember my mom would be up at the butt crack of dawn, okay, as we say. And she, before that, actually. And, because we had to get up the butt crack of dawn, so
right.
She was up before that.
Right.
And she had all the snacks packed, the coolers rinsed out. I mean, it's like 3 o'clock, no sun. She's got the hose out there rinsing out the coolers. They were dirty from last time, cleaning them all out, letting them air out, blah, 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 getting ice. Putting them in the thing, packing the coolers, putting them in the ready to go. Because we had to get up, get in the car, sleepy as we were. So you were talking about like mornings where we had to do that. And I remember we had, my family had church, as you know, Saturday and Sunday, holy smokes. So on a Sunday, we're driving my sister to the tournament, and I was the chaperone, if you will. Okay,
yeah.
A little Bridgerton reference for you. And I would stay with my sister at these tournaments. Mom would drive back to church. Do her thing and then hit us up there afterwards once it was over. She was all over the place. And so a lot like Molly, just up doing stuff at who knows when. Things would, it was like magic.
Yes.
You know, I kind of joke around about my socks just disappearing. I leave them everywhere and I'm like, sweetie, the socks are gone. They're all gone. What happened? Like they're washed and folded. And it's like, how? I didn't do anything. And you're like, I don't know. It's magic. But that's Molly, and that was my mother. It was awesome.
She's wonderful. So shout out to Molly. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
Because you know, she also can overreact like moms do, as we see later with the twins.
I want to say this. Okay, don't be still. This goes back to one of my most famous blunders on the internet, which is she always knew, Fred Weasley.
Yes.
All right. She always knew. And everyone's just sort of like, oh, my gosh. One of the bits of evidence that I pointed out that was foreshadowing that one of her twins might die, right, is right in this. Like it starts here where she scolds, yells at them, and she's going to send them off to the World Cup. And it's this thing, right? But the last thing she spoke to them was very harsh.
Negative. Make sure you behave.
Right, but it was also just that she had scolded them and didn't get to like hug them, love on them, before they went on this big trip, and then they almost all die at the right. World Cup. I mean, it was scary, and she's worried, and the clock said probably that they were in peril. So that was one of those moments where she was freaking out, and then they come back, and she's gonna like grab both of them and be crying. And the last thing I said to you was this, and so sorry I said that kind of thing.
And we didn't even speak.
Right. Yeah.
Plus. So, first of all, we are introduced to the summoning charm in this chapter, which mm-hmm. will play a big role later in school and also for a task.
How do you say it, though? Is it Accio or Accio?
We don't know.
The book says Accio, and I hear some of the actors...
Accio book.
Accio book.
That's what...
Accio book.
That's what they say in Puffs. Puffs,
right. Jinx, you owe me a Diet Coke.
Oh, thanks. I always do.
Okay. But yeah, so it's either. But I mean, Hermione makes it a big deal. Is mm-hmm. you know, is it Wingardium Leviosa or
it's true?
What does she say? I don't even know. However you say it,
Leviosa, not Leviosa.
Yeah, there you go.
It's on Leviosa, not on Leviosa.
Oh, okay.
Leviosa.
Where's that accent at? Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. I just like I need to know.
True.
How to use it?
We have to do a poll. How do you say Accio?
Yeah.
Accio. It's so weird, though, to say Accio to me because it's just not how they say it in the movie. They say Accio.
Yeah. See, you have the double C there, mm-hmm. which is what throws people mm-hmm. because you've got the I after the second C. And typically when C is followed by I, E, or Y, it says S. Okay.
Broccoli.
Brock.
Oh, it's got an O.
Yeah, I meant directly.
Broccoli.
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 I'm going to start with that broccoli real quick. Boy, I sure love chomping on some broccoli.
Yeah.
My goodness. Sorry. Anyways, Accio or Accio, you guys let me know.
I wonder if they contact J.K. Rowling directly when they read the books, like the official audio book version. Uh-huh. Would they contact her to ask how to pronounce something?
Probably.
Because that's how they say it in the audiobook. Accio.
To some degree, I think they would probably like she has assistants and stuff that mm. they kind of say, hey, can we just? I mean,
Accio.
They're gonna read it. It's just like you want to get Hermione's name right, right? Like yes. when we all were reading it for the first time, we were not reading
it
correctly.
Victor Crumb.
Right, and then so you
Hermione.
Yeah, so cute. Anyway.
It's easier in German actually.
Yeah.
Because there's no O in it in German.
What's
they
her
just,
name?
Hermina.
Hermina.
It's just I N E. No O.
Hermina. Okay. What's Harry's name in German?
Harry.
What's Ron's name?
Ron. They just changed Hermione's name because I think in German it...
What's Hagrid's name?
Hagrid.
Say it with your German accent. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
Hagrid.
There we go. That's us.
Das ist Hagrid.
Das ist Hagrid. Hagrid.
Hagrid. And, yeah. And Hermine und Ron und Harry. Not, well, oh. We say Harry, but Harry.
Harry.
Harry, 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 Harry,
Harry. Okay, sorry, we're getting off topic.
Anyway, it was all about the summoning charm and the twins, right?
Right.
So are we, from now on, are we going to say Accio or Accio?
We're going to mix it up. I don't ever do anything. No. Don't pin me down in terms of saying
you're
things
correctly. You're a Hufflepuff, so you can say both ways.
I can say it both ways.
You don't have to pick a side ever.
Right. Yeah. There are days where I'm in reading class and I read words right, and there's days where I read them wrong.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
All right.
Like, yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
But it is amazing to me that the twins spend half a year to develop that candy.
Mm-hmm.
And that must really hurt. You know, they just got thrown out by mm-hmm. Molly.
Yeah.
I mean, if I don't know if
does she
if
give
my
them
kids,
back or no?
Don't know.
I don't remember if they get them back or not.
Are they still
they get
the trash?
Something.
Did she take the trash
I
out?
I think they hide. They think there is one hidden somewhere.
Where does their trash go?
And they can replicate it.
Is it getting picked up? Are they burning it?
I don't know. What do wizards and witches do with their trash?
Don't know. Like, is there a weekly
recycling
trash truck that goes to Hogwarts with all the trash from the whole castle?
No one's ever asked that. I don't
Or do
think.
They just do a vanishing charm?
But where does
is
it go?
Is there a recycling charm?
There has to be. There has to be.
Probably. I mean, it would be.
Reciclio. Right? Or what would the trash, you know, into the trash? I don't know. Yeah, you said vanishing. Don't know. Great question.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I was just shocked that as a mom, you're like, wow, my kid spent 6 months on this.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing she says is like, oh, great way to spend 6 months and you don't even have as many OWLs. So,
yeah. Can I tell you something? Yeah. This is where I, as a teacher, and also just as we do stuff, you know, content creation and wanting to kind of do things that are more creative on YouTube or podcasting or what have you, it is so different from what our parents know.
Yeah.
That to take that step in that direction seems they're very fearful and they don't really know how to let you go do that.
Yeah.
It's hard. I see kids all the time who want to try something different or want to take a different career path than their parents. And it's like, okay, different career paths are possibly okay as long as it follows under the same system or mechanics that their job does.
Right.
Then they understand it and they feel like, okay, that's good and it's something that they can relate to. But when you can't, like Molly cannot relate to them at all, does not understand. First of all, her other, the Bill, Charlie, and Percy took a completely different track. Although I wonder, because Bill and Charlie have really interesting jobs, but still, did they have the same sort of fight? And like, did Percy grow up seeing them kind of struggle at home?
I don't know.
Not their grades, because they clearly did well academically.
Yeah, they did. They did, both of them. And I think Bill, like a job at the bank doesn't sound that bad at first, right? If he sold it right to his parents.
Hey, he's a curse breaker. It's a little dangerous, but it's right. And then Charlie working with dragons.
I think what Molly's problem is also is that it's dangerous how they go about it, right? That they test it on a muggle boy or they want to test it on other kids and it's dangerous.
But I mean, curse breaking, how did Bill learn how to do all that curse
breaking? It's dangerous to Bill, which is also scary for Molly, but it's not dangerous to other people necessarily, if you know what I mean. Like she doesn't want her kids to be a danger to other kids.
Right, but they know how to I don't think they ever test anything on Hogwarts students that they don't know how to remedy. You know what I mean? I think they know how to remedy it and they know how to fix it or whatever. I think they test it on themselves first, don't they?
They do.
So,
but still, they don't really tell what the thing does. Or they weren't really sure how it would affect muggles. You know,
for sure. That was wrong. I agree with that. But I mean,
so I think that really pushed it over the edge for Molly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, trying to understand both sides, really. It's the traditional or classic generational conflict, because our system prepares us for a future that is changing constantly, right? We can't always predict what the future is going to be like, because like you said, 20 years ago no one could have prepared you for a career as a social media person, because social media did not exist how it exists today. And so that's going to be, I mean, we don't know what kind of jobs are going to be there when our kids are going to be adults. So
they're talking about AI prompters now, people who craft AI prompting engineers.
Yes.
Is what they're like calling them now. And I'm like, wow. Okay.
You just got to know how to use it. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, all right.
Anyway, we can't really, I don't know. We don't pick sides. We're too Hufflepuff for that, but I think both of them have a point. I think it's sad. I think as a mom, I really ask myself, wow, they spend so much time and energy on that. How can we turn this into something that really is valuable and not destructive or not harmful to other people? So, anyway, let's get to the... Oh, you have a question? You have a point?
No, I'm just ready to... Keep right on going.
I got it. So, imagine... It's still dark outside. The moon is still shining, but you can see that slight, she says green tint. I don't know. I imagine like a purple pinkish. Maybe it is green right before it turns to pink and orange and all these beautiful colors that we see when the sun rises, right?
Yeah.
So, but there is a little bit of color on the horizon that you can see. Okay, daybreak is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice, crisp air. And there's some hills we need to hike. It's there's still mist outside, and we're in the English countryside.
Yeah.
In the summer.
Yeah. Can I tell you something interesting about that? It's described as green and that color. You think of the surroundings. Maybe it's like you said, like the lush. It's summer, right? Yeah.
It is summer.
Lots of green. But you made me think of the green flash that occurs when the sun is, I believe it's when it's setting, I think. So green flashes may be observed from any altitude. They usually are seen at an unobstructed horizon such as over an ocean, but are possible over cloud tops and mountain tops as well. They may occur at any latitude, although at the equator, the flash rarely lasts longer than a second. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anybody's ever seen that, what they call the green flash over top of the sun.
Wow.
When it's setting, time I saw it was my mom took us down to Florida, and I think, I forget which side we were on, but I believe we were on the Gulf side. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were on the Gulf side. Yeah, because it was setting. Yeah, that's where we could see it. We could see it setting, yeah. like it was, as the sun was setting, and we were looking across the water, we could see like this green glow and flash.
Cool. I've never seen it before.
Yeah, it's a thing. I don't know if anybody else has ever seen or heard that, but it's
That might be it.
Phenomenon.
For sure.
I mean, it's probably not, but
it was like, similar, the phenomenon that you see when the daylight hits your area.
Yeah, except for this is typically at sunset, I think, so it doesn't matter. I just wanted to point it out because 'tis possible, but
Or is it foreshadowing that something's about to happen?
Yeah, she chose today green because something's up.
So I just love that scene. I just love thinking about, I would be stoked. Honestly, I would be wide awake. Let's go have some warm porridge with treacle.
Mm-hmm,
Mr. Weasley puts treacle on top of his porridge. Mm-hmm. I had to look it up. It's like a syrup.
Sounds great.
And you want to say something?
Well, I just want to say, have you noticed, and I just thought of it, that when this whole thing's going on, this whole scene with everyone getting up and they're talking about apparating and splinching and all that kind of stuff, we're going to get there. But really, the only people, does Ron ever speak? In this whole chapter?
No, he's tired.
He's dead tired. He doesn't say a word, nope. I don't think. And I just thought that was kind of funny because I'm like, where's Ron?
Yeah.
Is he there? But he never says a word. And he's just slowly, kind of mindlessly like...
Yep, probably.
Going through the motions.
They all don't speak while they're getting dressed and they're all tired. But then, they slowly get into... I mean, Harry is so intrigued by the idea, okay, how does everybody get there?
Well, and they talk to Harry in his point of view character, but like... You know, Mr. Weasley's talking about, like, what is he wearing? Mm. Then the twins get in trouble, and there's that whole bit. But, yeah, in general, Ron.
Ron's just nothing. There. Yep.
Yeah, great.
Love it.
Love it.
I mean, we do observe Harry talking to Mr. Weasley, so I'm just imagining, like, Ginny and Hermione are somewhere maybe a little bit off, like, behind everybody, talking, you know, chatting it up in the morning. Ron is the one who's just by himself, like, gosh, this sucks.
Probably.
I don't know, but I just imagine it to be a cool adventure. And Harry definitely wants to know more, so he catches up to Mr. Weasley, who's leading the group, and asks him, how's everybody getting there? How did they set up the location? So this is what Arthur is explaining to him. And I thought it was really interesting. He says there are places Muggles can't penetrate, like Diagon Alley and Platform 9 3/4, where they just... I mean... And then he describes, you know, how they magically put protection charms on the swamp, the moor, for the World Cup. So that made me wonder, Diagon Alley and Platform 9 3/4, were they just naturally there as magical places? Or did someone also create them and put eternal, like, anti-Muggle charms on them? Because the way he said it just threw me off for a second.
Yeah.
But
no, I think they created them. I mean,
yes, they did. So I looked up at least Diagon Alley. I was like curious what the history says, and the Leaky Cauldron was supposed to be the first Diagon Alley locality. So it was known as Diagon Alley #1 or #1 Diagon Alley, and it's believed to have been built sometime in the early 1500s. Along with the rest of the Wizarding Street. So they build it. But then, remember, it wasn't until later when the Statute of Secrecy was imposed. And then that's where Diagon Alley was hidden by the use of many powerful spells of concealment.
Cool.
So, yep, they created it. And those spells, I mean, is there a task force who has to come to Diagon Alley every other year to reinforce those spells, or is it just
at least check them? I mean, it's like maintenance, right? You go in and sort of
say,
is it still working? Do we need to do more to it? I like that. I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and Fantastic Beasts made it seem like those places can be created At least temporarily sometimes.
Yeah.
You know how they went in Paris, they went into that, I don't know, it's almost like in between realm, just mm-hmm. like Diagon Alley, where only wizards have access to it.
Oh yeah, I know
they
what
had
mean.
This party, yeah. this I don't know, street festival.
Yeah, gotcha. That seemed pretty. You think that was temporary? Like they just set it up for
maybe
that
not, maybe not. It just felt like it was so specific to that street festival.
Yeah.
That they had, but
because in the mm-hmm. so with Diagon Alley, when they go back to the when they tap on the bricks or whatever, I don't know. I'm guessing on the other side of that wall, if you were to blast through it with like dynamite or whatever, is Diagon Alley there? Mm-hmm. Or is it really actually put, like, how does that all work?
Do you mean if muggles walk in and they put some dynamite yeah. right there? And good question.
Could they blast their way through? Or,
you know,
like,
what?
Is it some sort of other metaphysical thing?
Have you ever wondered about how this spatial thing works with the magical places? Or how they travel mm-hmm. so fast? Then go listen to our to our extendable ear edition, because we're going to talk about this later. We're going to talk about how you travel through space-time.
Okay.
Are they traveling through wormholes is the question.
Wow. Jaminy.
Yeah. So, because we are talking about portkeys as well, and it's described pretty well how it feels to travel through portkey. And also, apparition is not supposed to be very comfortable, mm-hmm. very easy. They talked about how hard it is to perform.
Yeah,
that you have to learn it, at least. That not everybody
got to have a license, for crying out loud. Right. You guys remember when I got, you know, the registration situation? You know, they'll get you if you yeah. don't have your license. You're not registered. It's
right.
a big deal. Percy's yeah. They said Percy has his, and he's bouncing around.
Oh yeah,
apparating up and down.
Isn't that just like how you when you get your license, you just want to go take the car everywhere? I
oh,
can drive
yeah.
now, Ma. I can. No, I'm
got
going
it.
There. I get the milk and bread. You
yep.
stay here.
That's totally what happened. And my mom loved it.
Yeah.
She loved it. She was like, yeah, please go.
Yeah,
so.
Perfect. Anyway, it seems to be quite the hike, though, to get to the portkey location.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hermione is totally out of breath. But also...
Everyone's sweating. And everyone's
when
like,
do they ever get exercise? You oh, know? When do they ever, like, work out their bodies? Or do wizards not have to do that?
I'm sure they do. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I think you and Matt brought up a very good point one day.
Really?
Why is there no physical education class in Hogwarts?
Yeah.
How are the kids going to get their exercise? They have flying lessons, but that's about it.
Yeah.
First year flying lessons.
Right. Yeah. Don't know. It's just not a part of the... It's like when you go to college, you know? I mean, there's really no physical education there.
Unless you do... sports in college, yeah.
Yeah, but they're not forcing other people and other majors to go do it, so.
But does Hogwarts have a gym where you can go work out?
I like to think they do. The room of requirement.
Do?
The room of requirement,
oh.
you know. If I require it,
wow.
I bet you Crabbe and Goyle go in there. I bet you in there putting PRs up, you know, 315 on
that
the bench.
Would be. I mean, I bet the whole, I mean, Oliver Wood, I wonder why he didn't make his Gryffindor Quidditch team go there every Saturday.
Right. Right.
Work out.
Would that matter? Does that help?
Some stamina. I feel like you do have to have some good, spatial awareness and little tiny muscles that help you balance out mm-hmm. yourself on the broom. Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
For show. For show. Okay.
It's all for show.
All right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think this just seems like when we were in the Highlands with Dad.
Yeah.
Back in the summer. It should to trek up some of those places. I know they're not in the Highlands necessarily, but just to go up some of those steep hills and stuff, it's a trek. I mean,
yes.
They are literally making a trek. Plus, it seems like they're walking
yeah.
a mile plus at a really fast pace, trying to get there in time because the portkey is going to go off at a certain particular time, which is also interesting. It's not just a portkey that is just, you know,
yeah.
ready to go. You have to be touching it at like this exact time, which is crazy. I
yeah.
think. So, yeah, I don't know. Big hill.
You know, something I noticed is when they meet Cedric and his father, right? And is Cedric the same year as the twins? Must be, because he was a fifth year in prisoner and the twins are fifth year and Angelina. So that's why, I mean, the twins are way more like, yeah, screw this guy.
I thought the twins were...
I know they're younger, right? They can't participate. Same as the twins. I think the twins are 6 years. They must be like late. Yeah, because they had all WLs last year. So that means they were in their fifth year. And Cedric is his sixth year. So that means they are in the same year. That's why they are so competitive in Quidditch, right? Because they're same year. They have classes together.
Mm-hmm.
They know Cedric way better. And they must, I mean, I'm sure they like Cedric. They're just still kind of mad at him for beating them at Quidditch. And it was kind of unfair.
Yeah. In the movie, I like how in the movie they are pretty much like, what's up, Ced? You know, they're pretty.
Yeah, they know each other. Yeah, pretty well. Yeah.
Chill.
So that's that. They are the same year, but I think like the twins are very late April. Yeah, they're April 1st
mm-hmm.
is when they're born.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then they talk about how expensive the tickets were, right? And that makes me wonder, how did the Weasleys afford all the tickets?
Mm-hmm.
Harry didn't even have to pay for his ticket, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the twins, Ron, Percy, Charlie, Bill, Harry, Mr. Weasley, Ginny.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know about Hermione. Let's say Hermione paid for her ticket because her parents were like, no, you're
not. Well, I would say Bill and Charlie paid for their tickets too.
Maybe they did.
They're adults.
So, but that leaves them with 7 tickets. It must have been a fortune for them mm-hmm. to go there. Plus, we know that if you wanted cheaper tickets, you would have to arrive there 2 weeks early. So they didn't get cheap tickets. They got the good tickets.
Well, I mean, he works at the ministry. Maybe he had an inside deal, inside connection, got a discount.
He did. Isn't it Ludo Bagman himself mm-hmm. got him the tickets, but I don't know if they were discounted.
Yeah.
Hopefully. So that's a lot for them to.
Right. It's a lot. Yeah. Tickets are a lot.
Anything else?
Well, let me think. Anything else? I think the only thing you didn't touch on was the when they kind of get on Mr. Diggory, kind of gets on Harry about the win over Cedric.
Oh yeah.
So he's kind of talking to him about how Cedric really, you know, was a better flyer, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of neat. It's just a dad being proud or whatever, and it's a sad moment where it's sort of like, well, Cedric's never going to have those grandkids to tell that story to, and it's just sad.
Yes.
We know that on a reread now. And I think when you look back at it, like as J.K. Rowling is writing that, puts that line in there knowing full well that Cedric won't make it at the end. And she creates that sadness for us on a reread.
Yeah.
So it's heartbreaking. And I think about Mr. Diggory like a lot. It's just tragic. You know, he's a Hufflepuff. This is like the hero of Hogwarts. I mean, I have Cedric when I ranked him in terms of how powerful is he in my little series that I do, he's like a 9.
Yeah.
He's one of the only students that I have up in the, one of very few students that I have up in the 9 range.
Yeah.
And I think he would have grown even more. He's a Triwizard champion. He's the true champion chosen by the cup. And
like
he's not even a 6th or 7th
year.
That's
what I was going to say. Yes, you said, he is not even a 7th year. So there is plenty of students who have a whole year longer, a whole year more of magical education and practice. And we know that when you're growing up in that time of your life, a year can make a huge difference, right? If you think about like football players and you think about seniors and juniors or sophomores and juniors, how big the difference is.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
So, yeah, it's incredible. And it's super sad. I think he's the only, seems to be an only child.
Yeah, I
know.
There
is no other Diggory kids that we know of.
Right. Yeah.
So. Tragic.
Yeah, very tragic, but he's powerful, and I love it. I think it's a cool little scene where we get to kind of meet him, and then we'll, you know, he's important. It's neat that he's there, and he's not just a brand new character, but he does have a little bit of history with Harry from the past book,
mm-hmm.
and so it just feels more real. It feels like this is where those little tiny crumbs, where it feels like that the author is planning stuff out, you know, and building towards the next book or whatever. It's great because mm-hmm. she needed a character from House Hufflepuff and she puts them in.
Yes.
That's awesome. There wasn't enough Hufflepuff representation, and finally he gets in there and we have this epic Quidditch match, and then mm-hmm. now he becomes the champion And then the Hufflepuffs will kind of drift away a little bit for a while until Dumbledore's army. There's a few of them.
Yeah.
But we don't really see a whole lot of them. And so
Cedric is the one and only. Like, after that, we don't really get another Hufflepuff until we meet Newt Scamander, who's actually in the past. But,
yeah,
you know, like, for the fandom, that's the one Hufflepuff to hold on to. Because, I mean, right, the others are cool, too. But, yeah, like, we in Ravenclaw, we at least have Luna, Cho. But mm-hmm. Luna, really, who takes on this role as the leading Ravenclaw character everybody loves.
Yeah.
Among the kids, yeah. So.
Yeah, so that's really it. Just the Amos kind of, you know, giving Harry a bit of grief there.
Right.
And in a good way. And I think Harry's polite about it. And he probably would have answered like, yeah, sure, Cedric's a better flyer, mm-hmm. like whatever. Mm-hmm. But you could probably see that the twins were behind him seething and, you know, Arthur's like, all right, what time is it? Hey, it's time to go. Come on.
Yeah.
Shut her down. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Short chapter. I mean, essentially, that's the...
Yeah.
That is the port key discussion there. I think port keys are interesting. Again, tying in, like, creating this how you travel. You've got the flu network. You've got apparition. You've got now port key. You have different ways. You've travel is such a big deal in Harry Potter. And I think that's kind of neat. Like, that J.K. Rowling thought about it. Like, how do you get on the Hogwarts Express?
How do
we move them around without people seeing them or knowing mm-hmm. about them? And keeping it all secret. So that was definitely
it is a big event, yeah.
On her mind, yeah.
And she describes it very well, how it would feel to use a port key. It says, like, so Mr. Weasley counts down 3, 2, 1, and then it happened immediately. Harry feels like a hook just behind his navel had been suddenly jerked irresistibly forward. His feet left the ground. He could feel Ron and Hermione on either side of him, their shoulders banging into his. They were all speeding forward in a howl of wind and swirling color. His forefinger was stuck to the boot as though it was pulling him magnetically onward. And then his feet slammed into the ground. Ron staggered into him and he fell over. The portkey hit the ground near his head with a heavy thud. And they're all on the ground. So it seems pretty rough, especially for first-time travelers. Would you use a port key if you had the option to use a different means of transportation, like a broom or
they all
flu
seem,
powder?
Yeah, the broom. Well, I'm afraid of heights. I'm not so sure I'd be great on a broom. But the like the flu powder situation, it also seems like very head spinning, right? As you gotta, they're all whipping past you, all of these different fireplaces. You have to know when to kind of jump out or how, where you're going to be spit out at, right? Because Harry has that whole situation. The port key seems dizzying, although once you master it, I think it's just the first time. These are all just like first time experiences for Harry.
No one really prepares them on what to do or what to expect. Yeah.
So once I think you've got it down, because clearly Cedric has more experience with port keys.
Yeah.
Right? He's clearly taken a port key somewhere before because he doesn't, or he's at least more magically adept than everyone else, which is a very subtle way. And they do a great job in the movie where they're both all kind of like they're cycling down with their legs. They're like, you know, in the movie, they're spinning, they're kind of running in the air.
Yeah, there's a certain movement you have to do to to do it gracefully.
Gracefully and to land.
Yeah.
And so it just shows that Cedric's a notch up on on everyone there. Right.
Yeah.
And so
his
dad's very proud of him. It's a subtle little like this guy is.
Yeah.
So good.
He seems like a prodigy. A little bit, right? And but he seems very much like, Dad, I don't know. It's okay. Like,
he's very humble. Yeah, he's very humble.
Don't say it like that.
Right. Yeah, his dad's just proud of him, you know?
Yeah.
They're Hufflepuffs, and you have something to be super proud of, and he's their leader, right?
Yeah.
So it's great. But yeah, I don't know. Port key, or I guess I'd be okay with the port key. I think you have more control in the flu powder
network
because you know which fireplace where you're going exactly, and I don't know, I like to apparate that. I think I'd be more in control there, right? So because I can think and I can
once,
do it correctly
once you know how to do it. I think it would be scary to do it for the first time, especially once you heard people do splinching. I would be very, very scared to try it for the first time, but I think I would enjoy traveling by broomstick. I mean, I know it takes way longer, especially if it's a longer distance, and you know, this seems to be like a few moments, whereas if you travel by broom, you would have to travel maybe an hour or two to fly to the destination.
Yeah,
but I think I would absolutely love flying on a broom, because again, on a commercial airplane, you're not in control. It's that feeling of you give up all control. You have no clue what's happening, really. You don't know what's normal when you fly for the first times, mm-hmm. Versus what's, you know, something to be scared of. And when you're on a broomstick, same, like you control your movements and you practice until you get good enough to fly up high. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Love it.
Okie doke.
Okie doke.
Now, do you have anything else after Outpost?
No, I think it's just a little Outpost we received from. So I think it's Gabriella is her name. It says Gabriella's Device Fireworks, which I think is hilarious. And Gabriella, please let us know if that's your name, said she was coming up with a Discord name. And she says Discord name should be Potterhead's Revenge.
Wow.
I don't know why, she says, but I think it's just to be funny. Also, Gabriella, I think you also left a Spotify episode comment or review. You can now, that's new on Spotify, a new feature, you can leave us like a comment directly on an episode if you want to. So if there's something you heard, you disagree with, you agree with, you want to add, you can also comment on the episode on Spotify directly.
That's so cool.
That's pretty cool.
Cool little feature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good. All right. You
all
sure?
All good. All good.
Did you get it all out? You sure?
All good. I mean, we haven't done Irma Pence's recommendation in a while, but because Irma Pence is, she's on vacation right now.
Okay.
But she left me a message and she told me to tell you guys, if you get a chance, then read Anne of Green Gables.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can't believe you said that out loud.
Sorry, but it's such a wholesome story.
So good. And
I remember it as watching it as a kid, the anime version.
Yeah.
So for kids. But
yours truly over here is reading it. Yes. I'm listening to it, and it's good. Watched Anne with an E. Freaking awesome. Went and got the old 1985 version. Mm-hmm. It's really good, too.
It's so funny.
So my mom loved it, mm-hmm. literally. I remember in the last year of her life, she went back and reread it. And was just brought back all those sort of like early childhood feels. And I think, she would always talk about it. And she had red hair and freckles. And so she thought it was, you know.
It's so cute. Yeah. And if you like just like a countryside setting, they have their own farm, just a little girl who's an orphan. And she starts living with this family who wasn't sure at first. And she's got some struggles, you know, growing up. But it's just very wholesome. And it has all the Scotland feels because, spoiler alert, her ancestors are from Scotland. But it's actually in Canada, in New Scotland, in mm-hmm. Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Right.
So actually, the guy who plays Matthew Cuthbert in the show, I think he's pretty cool. So H.R. Thompson is his name, mm-hmm. I think. That's what it says here on the internet. And I thought he'd be a pretty cool professor of some kind.
Absolutely,
Don't know what it would be,
Professor
Fig. Like he's cool. He seems really really neat. But
yeah, history professor maybe or
Oh my God, a great Professor Binns. Yeah,
actually yes.
Yeah, hopefully we see him by the way in the show.
That'd be awesome.
Okie dokie.
Is he British or is he Canadian?
I think they're all Canadian, but that's close enough, right? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty close. All right.
All right, friends.
That is all for this week. Thank you guys for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you're going to join us in the future. We do thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people. If you don't miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and mm-hmm. follow on social media mm-hmm. at Fleur and Bill. And by the way, I know I cut you off there. You about to go into your outro mouthful. It is freezing cold.
It's freezing cold. Normally, we're sweating by the end of the
episode. I've had to go to the bathroom since about 30 minutes into the podcast.
Wow.
So is that just too much information or what? But it's probably because of the cold and the coffee. I don't know.
And the coffee is cold, too. Because we're in America, we drink coffee cold here,
right,
apparently.
Right. By the way, Nova Scotia, they drink tea. Good. You know. Thought that was cool. That was cool.
They good, were, Anakin.
Good, Anakin. Shut her down.
All right. If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You will find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We really appreciate you, to Luna and back. On our next reread episode, we will discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 7, Bagman and Crouch. So make sure you tune back in next time, and until then, have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.